We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Got some ticket texts coming in here. I love the moves the Pistons made the past couple days, but I'd love to ask a basketball person what the Heat saw in Fontecchio to take on his contract to help us out. Thank you, Pat Riley. I would have assumed that we would have given up a couple of seconds at least to take him.
Well, you had to make the money somewhat match.
That's the thing with NBA contracts.
Right.
You got to find that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I do find it strange. 2 years ago, Fontecchio, when the Pistons acquired him, was so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a damn good 3-point shooter, had good size. Wow. Here we go. Let's look forward to it in 25. And then he was a complete non-factor last year.
Turnover machine. He was not very good.
Couldn't shoot from three anymore. Mm-hmm. Was amazing. The difference 1 year to the next. Let's hope that's not the case with these guys they just got.
I know. By the way, you mentioned you hope there's a trade out there for the Red Wings. I've asked Kenny this too. What would you say if there is a possibility, and I think there's a possibility, I don't know, what would you give up for a guy who is, he's 31 years old. So he's got a little, you know, age on him. But the last few years, he's scored, let's see, I'll go for just the last 5 years, 27, 22, 24, 20, 28, and had 31 goals last year, 34 assists for a team that didn't make the playoffs. What would you give up for that person who plays he's a wing?
I mean, it's more than just goal scoring, but I mean, does he block shots? Does he hit? What is he?
He doesn't have a ton of penalty minutes, but he's not a...
Is he a liability on the ice because he doesn't play defense?
He's not a wuss, no. And not that it makes a difference. Does have some local connections. I don't think people even care about that, but I just... What would you give up for Brian Rust? Supposedly, the Penguins are in a rebuild. They want to get younger and do that type of thing. And supposedly, he is available.
Hmm.
Would you give up a first-round pick for him?
First-round pick for a team that may or may not make the playoffs, so you might have a shot at the lottery. Might be a little high with a first-round pick, but he's coming off a career season.
Yeah.
And he's been in the league for 11 years, I think. It's his best season. This is a perfect time for him to strike while this iron is hot, I guess. But he's also a minus 21.
Yeah, but I think plus minus is almost an antiquated stat.
It is. I shouldn't say it's antiquated. What I think I think the plus minus stat is you take it with a grain of salt.
Right, because it's usually on crappy teams. Guys have bad plus minuses. You look at some of the great Red Wing teams, you remember guys like God rest his soul, like Brad McCrimmon at one point when he was like...
The Beast.
Maybe he had a great one. Maybe that was when he was with Philly. But you know what I'm saying. Those guys, Lidstrom, Cousins, they had great plus minus.
Well, those were on great teams, yeah. But yes. They were also... Yeah,
yeah, I know.
I mean, I get it. Just for comparison, like Lucas Raymond was minus 15. Alex DeBrincat was minus 13. Dylan Larkin and Patrick Kane were both minus 16.
Right. So last year, he was a plus 10, Rust. So the year before. So, I mean... Yeah, plus minus. It doesn't mean that much to me anymore.
Would I be interested? Well, last year was minus 21.
Right, I meant the year before he was.
Year before that, 10. He was plus 10. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd have interest. I don't know what it would take to acquire him. I don't know what his contract status is. I mean, it's a player.
Yeah,
I give you credit for finding a player
who can score goals.
This is true.
Something this team needs.
Well, they need to stop letting the puck in the net, I think, more than anything else.
True.
You know,
well, that's why I mentioned Nate Schmidt. He's a good defenseman.
And where is Nate Schmidt?
Utah.
All right.
Utah. Johnny Utah.
That's different. That's a whole different sport.
I know.
Whole different genre. Peter is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. Hey. Give me one sec. One sec.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I wanted to bring up a couple things, ask you guys two questions. With Larkin's exit interview and him saying the morale was down because they didn't add anybody at the deadline, and with Eiserman's response to that, how do you think the compete level of the Red Wings is going to be with that mentality if they don't add anybody this offseason? And the second question I have is that Larkin speaking for the dressing room, or is that Larkin speaking for the guys in the dressing room being like, hey, you know, we need some help here. We're doing the best we can. We're working our butts off.
I think they're both the same thing as what you said, to be honest with you. But I got no problem with what Larkin said. And if Eiserman took it the wrong way or whatever way he took it, if he wants to be punitive, which I don't think he does, and, you know, trade Larkin, depending how much. Look, Dylan Larkin is a terrific player, but he's not a top 30 player in the National Hockey League.
He's not a superstar player.
Right.
But the player you saw in the Four Nations Cup is the player that you dream about. He was so good.
On a great team.
Yeah.
He was a great third-line player on a great team.
He ended up playing like first-line minutes after a couple of games because of the way he just flourished in that system there on that team. Yes, it was a much better team, obviously. I like Dylan Larkin a lot. I don't know if he was speaking for the room or if he was speaking for himself.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Or if he didn't think that his comments were going to resonate the way that they did, I don't know. In hindsight, I kind of wish that thing was behind closed doors with he and Eiserman. They could have it out that way as opposed to airing it out in public, because it looked like Steve was very prickly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just leads to speculation is what it does. And nobody, I don't want the speculation. Either you go on with him or you go on without him. As far as what happens this summer, if they don't do anything, how could you not have the exact same feeling? I'm with him. I mean, unless you're going to be all excited and get the PR machine going about John Gibson, the goaltender, which I don't think that's what you'd do. I wouldn't put an all-out assault on that, but it is an interesting take. If they don't do anything more, which I suspect, again, I do suspect that they'll do something more. There's too much cap space to hang on to not do something. If they don't, though, how could you not have the same feel about that? Yeah, we were a little bummed that things didn't work out. You know, we were a little disappointed that we didn't make that move at the trade deadline. And it goes one of two ways, right? I mean, you have that, or they didn't do anything. One team took it as instilling confidence in the team. Who was in the playoffs last year? They kept talking about it. Was it Montreal?
Right.
They were all excited because, hey, please don't send anybody out. We got this, you know. And then they bet on the players. They didn't make the moves of the trade deadline, and they made that push, and it worked for them to a point.
And what did they do this offseason?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And then they make some moves in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, free agent-wise or whatever, you know, or trade-wise.
Trade-wise, yeah.
You can make some moves. So I think it's an interesting point to bring up. It's kind of relevant. Not seeing it here again to this point. But again, we are less than 24 hours into the free agency period.
Correct.
I think when we talk about the Pistons' additions and subtractions from last season, we include Ivy to the addition side since he was gone for most of the season last year. Well, about half the year. So we lose Schroeder, Beasley, and Hardaway Jr. We gain LeVert, Robinson, and Ivy. It's a decent start to adding, but we still need a backup big man, in my opinion, an upgrade over Beef Stew. I think we're all in agreement. I think we need to see another big man.
They need a stretch four, and they need Jalen Duren. I don't know if he's capable of doing this on a consistent basis. You need Jalen Duren to figure out a way to score the ball beyond 5 feet. In today's NBA, you have to be able to shoot a little bit.
Well, or just
big guy.
Use that athleticism and score more. Be more assertive when you get the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I just see more shots. More shots go in. I mean, it'd be nice if you had developed a 10-foot jump shot.
Right.
It'd be great. But I've been a big advocate of the whole Jaden Ivey thing and looking at this team. Because look at the team that was in the playoffs. The team that took the Knicks to the brink. That should have won the series. They got gypped out of one game. It would have put a big advantage for the Pistons. They got gypped out of that. Would they have beaten the Celtics? Could they have taken, you know, Indiana to the brink? I don't know. But it was a team that advanced. They should have advanced in the playoffs without Jaden Ivey. So, yeah, I do look at that. And I do think that's an addition. And it's a reason why I'm a little optimistic about the Pistons with having this team grow together with Asar Thompson and Ronnie Holland. I think those guys can take big leaps in the next season to really improve as well. But it doesn't help the lack of a big man. That's a problem.
Right. I mean, look, it's great that they brought back, what's his face?
Reed.
Yeah, Paul Reed. I mean, B-ball Paul. He's a really good third string center.
Maybe I'm too old school when it comes to the NBA and basketball. I don't think you need to keep searching for that unicorn big man that can step beyond the arc and knock down 3-point shots. I don't think you have to.
No.
If you've got enough guys in your team to do that, that's fine.
But they don't.
What I'd like to see is just a rim protector, a guy who can grab at least 10 rebounds a game, play some pretty good defense, keep the other team honest in front of you, and who's going to be able to be offensively not a liability when you give the ball in deep. He doesn't have to be a huge part of the offense, but I think it has to be a huge part of your defense.
Yeah, but you can still be better offensively without talking threes. That's what I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Shoot a 10-footer. So when he gets the ball, he becomes a threat that they have to pay attention to him defensively, and then he's a very good passer too.
Then there's this. Let's not forget when talking about the Pistons that every single player in our young core has barely scratched the surface of their potential. We're going to get so much better simply based off linear growth. Would hope so.
Yes, that's the hope.
And I think in large part, I mean, somebody may not pan out, right? But more often than not, they should. They should improve year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a lot of guys that are in year, ready to enter year two or year three, let alone you got 4 and 5. And one of those guys is a budding superstar for sure. 248-539-9797, the telephone number you want to talk about. The Pistons, the Red Wings, the moves that have been made, the moves that have not been made.
Gator, I'm going to make you happy about the Tigers, too.
Are you pointing at me?
Yes, I am.
Don't do that.
In a good way, though.
I don't know if that's a good way.
Okay.
Don't point. It's rude. Stoney's going to try to make me happy about the Tigers. Well, I'm pretty happy about the Tigers to begin with. Let's see if I can get happier. 97-1, the ticket.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.